Welcome to Sourcing Enterprise AI, a podcast by Upper Edge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. I'm John Belden, Chief Strategy and Research Officer.
And I'm Kylie Chisholm, Upper Edge's Content Marketing Manager. Join us every other week as we explore the impact of artificial intelligence and the critical issues IT decision makers and sourcing professionals will face.
The AI market is just in its infancy with new capabilities, new vendors, and a new competitive landscape and a boatload of risk. In each episode, we'll do a deep dive into a particular AI topic and explore the latest news releases and their potential impact on the market.
Empower your AI decision-making with vendor insights and fact-based sourcing strategies. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Sourcing Enterprise AI podcast. We have a great episode lined up for you. We will be going over some of the ways to capture the value of generative AI. I know John and I, we talked a lot about CIOs and CPOs having issues teeing up that value and figuring out how to communicate that to their teams. So to sort of start by setting up the problem for us all, and before we dive into like the meat of the episode and I let John take it away, I do want to take a few minutes to set up the problem that we want to address here. So when we were looking at generative AI and the value it brings to the table, you know, we've even talked about on this podcast, we're seeing 20 to 40% productivity gains being quoted, all these amazing things that could happen with AI. But CIOs and CPOs are really struggling to harness this value and deliver it to their executive teams to make them buy in. We've also talked about, as much as we've talked about the benefits, we've talked about the uncertainty, the risks involved with AI. And so the main question we're trying to answer in this episode is, how do CIOs and CPOs go about harnessing the power of AI and effectively communicate that with their teams? So, John, I will let you take it away as the expert here.
Yeah. Thanks, Kylie. I mean, I think one of the challenges, that we hear all the time is, you know, boards and CEOs and the C-suite. You know, I think they all recognize that there's going to be a huge potential benefit that's going to come from generative AI. And they're all asking the question, well, where is that going to come from? And how, Mr. CIO or how, Mr. CPO, are you going to deliver that? And then there becomes, what I'm going to refer to as kind of a nomenclature roadblock, that when you start to talk about generative AI, you start to talk about large language models, and you start to talk about prompt engineering, and you can just envision their eyes glossing over, because it really doesn't resonate with them. How is my organization going to actually derive the value? So, you know, when we thought about that particular problem, we said, let's think about how we can structure a conversation about the value of generative AI and how that conversation can take the form of, I'll call it, words and language that the CEOs and the CFOs and the chief operating officer can actually relate to in order to be able to help the CIOs and the CPOs frame up that conversation, right? So that was kind of the genesis of this, of how we might be able to do it. What we came down to is, I'm going to say, four channels of value delivery, right? And let me just kind of walk through those four channels first, and then maybe we can dive down into each of them. So the first channel of AI of delivery of value is going to be what I'm going to refer to as everyday individual AI, right? That's the AI that's actually accessible to everybody today, either through I'll call it a small premium or free of charge, right? So let's think about that as channel number one. Channel number two is generative AI that's delivered vis-a-vis a package. So through SAP, through Oracle, through ServiceNow, right? The infrastructure largely is already there. You, in effect, are just kind of turning on the capability. The third channel is what I will refer to as organic or bespoke AI. This is, you know, in the old words, this is kind of the homegrown stuff that says, I'm going to develop my own generative AI and we're going to apply it to my business. And then the fourth channel, and this is the one I don't think that gets talked about enough, is indirect value generation through AI, meaning other companies are actually implementing AI. How am I going to get my piece of the pie of their savings, right? So getting it out of your supply base. So those are the four channels of value delivery. And I think, you know, if you speak to the CEO or you speak to the CFO and think about those four channels, you haven't lost them in the initial conversation because they can all relate to, you know, kind of those four things. It's terminology that they're comfortable with.
Yeah. And it's interesting to have it packed into those four different categories. So I'm excited to dive deeper in. Let's start first with the everyday individual AI. It's funny. I even have like a ChatGPT tab open right now on my laptop. So it's very relevant today.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then I think you're a perfect example and I'm a perfect example, right? I mean, anybody that, you know, is somewhat interested in the topic has probably downloaded the ChatGPT 3.5 or is using, used to be called Guard, Bard, mm-hmm. now it's called Gemini, right? Mm-hmm. That being produced by, I think it's Google. But those generative AI platforms, and I'm going to put the Microsoft Copilot into that same category, right? You know, when we talk about the potential value of that technology at an individual level, right? It's going to have the same kind of productivity impact that we saw when we introduced Excel or when we introduced Word or when we introduced PowerPoint, right? It's going to self-enable, you know, people to be more productive individually, right? And it's going to speed up, you know, I'll call it some of the activities like doing research on a particular subject. And while you may want to search around for what's the value proposition of generative AI, you know, I would probably challenge the CEOs and the CPOs out there to say that value proposition is, you know, what if I don't enable my workforce in order to be able to capture the value of that, right? Because they're going to have access to it regardless. So, you know, part of our recommendation in this area is for CIOs and CPOs to enable their workforce by providing, I'll call it, the proper introduction and the proper training on how they can maximize the use of that, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, right? So think about enabling the workforce with a capability that already exists, and how are you actually going to give them the tools to do their job better, right? The value extraction will come naturally, just because of the access to the tools. But what CIOs and CPOs should be focused on is not where's the cost benefit going to come from, but how can I actually maximize the value of what's already out there? Mm-hmm. Now, there might be a contract price associated with that, right? Especially when we're thinking about Microsoft Copilot. And companies are going to need to deal with that. I would probably most likely say on their renewals, when their Microsoft Enterprise renewals come up. You know, I would encourage any of our listeners out there that if they've got a Microsoft renewal coming up, they need to get in contact with Adam Mansfield. He's our main guy in this area, the practice lead, and we would want to set them up with a good conversation with Adam on how to extract value out of Microsoft.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll make sure to have Adam's contact information in the description. And he's also done a lot of blogs and content recently on Microsoft and Microsoft Copilot specifically, because there's a lot going on that front. So moving into the packaged AI and looking at that, how does this sort of value delivery change looking now at packaged AI compared to the everyday AI?
Yeah. So when we get, let's recap again on the packaged AI, right? Packaged AI is what's being delivered through the platforms like SAP, like Oracle, mm-hmm. like ServiceNow, like Salesforce, right? They're all enabling AI capabilities. And the way that I would have our clients or our listeners think about this is think about it the same as when mobile came out, right? While the package delivered the same, you know, broad functional capabilities, when you said, oh, now I can do it mobile, right? Mm-hmm. There's obviously a lift up in terms of value. So if we think about the platforms as saying they are going to have new capabilities now enabled by another technology, right, which is AI, you know, there's going to be some sort of a value proposition there. Now, thinking about it from the standpoint of CIOs and CPOs, in order to be able to unleash the value proposition out of those products, you're going to need to be able to think about three things. First, you're going to need to think about platform currency, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to go to SAP and say, oh, I want to turn on generative AI if I'm running on the old ECC platform, right? So you're going to have to make sure that you've got platform currency. The second thing that you're going to have to think about is, do I have the minimal infrastructure in place in order to be able to actually enable the capabilities through SAP, right? The minimal infrastructure of the generative AI. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the next piece. But think about it again as mobile, right? If I don't have mobile devices out in the field, right, mobile capabilities within SAP doesn't mean anything, right? So unless I've got some sort of framework of a generative AI infrastructure that I can put in place, right? Turning on the mobile capabilities on SAP or on the generative AI capabilities on SAP is going to be less beneficial. Now, some of those mobile capability, mobile, I keep saying mobile, some of those generative AI capabilities in terms of managing the infrastructure may be embedded and actually available with the SAP product, but our clients or our listeners should be thinking about, right, what's the infrastructure that they want to have in place, right, in order to be able to turn that on. And then the third thing they need to think about in those package solutions is, where is the actual value going to come from to their organization across, I'll call it, the business process hierarchy. And I would be encouraging them to not only access their vendors' kind of promotional materials of where that's valued out, but I would also say, you know, contact your favorite systems integrator and have them provide you with their roadmap to value on that platform, because all of them have those roadmaps to value on each one of those platforms. You know, from our perspective, negotiating with the major providers of platforms, I'd be saying, let's make sure that they talk to Chip Hanna, or that they talk to Jeff Lazardo. You know, those are our guys, SAP and Oracle, and we ought to make sure that we get them teed up with those guys.
Yeah. Again, they've been doing a lot of back-end stuff on understanding AI and how it's affecting, you know, with them specifically, SAP and then Oracle and Workday. So there's a lot of really great value to get from their sort of expertise. So then moving into the organic bespoke, I know this is sort of the area that I'm the most foggy in. I don't know if our listeners agree. So I'm really interested to hear a little bit more on this channel and how to go about it.
Yeah. So when we think about this organic, or I'm going to refer to it as game changing AI, mm-hmm. You know, this, when we do talk about large language models, and we do talk about companies kind of developing their own AI applications, whether it's to deliver a service or a new product development, you know, I'll call it, those are the two, I think, best cases of, or to a certain extent, internal decision-making and optimization, but you're largely dealing with a large amount of your own internal knowledge that you're either supplementing a large language model or inventing your own large language model to deliver the service. There's a lot written out there about where those potential opportunities are. There's clearly opportunities going to be presented in the future once the technology becomes more economical. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be different for each enterprise. But what's not going to be different for each enterprise is the requirement to be able to set up the infrastructure to manage the whole development process and manage the LLMs and think about how you're going to do that training, right? And what's that going to look like? So I'm going to go back to my mobile analogy before. When mobile technology came out, there was a lot of questions about, well, who should get a mobile phone? Who should not get a mobile phone, right? You know, all of those things were kind of in debate. But what wasn't in debate was that mobile was going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. And every CIO kind of understood that mobile was going to be a thing and that they needed to put in place the infrastructure to be able to support it in the future as it grows. Yeah. I would be telling our CIOs and our CPOs today, yeah, those applications that you might be looking for to say, where are those killer applications? You know, they'll eventually come, right? I mean, they will eventually materialize. What they have to get in front of right now is being prepared for when that opportunity presents itself to be able to respond, which is then establishing that infrastructure for, I'll call it, generative AI. You know, lots of companies might refer to that in the old days when we were thinking about ERP, it would be the phase zero, right? Well, the similar kind of an approach on this generative AI organic is we need to do a phase zero to not only establish what we think the infrastructure is going to look like, but what's that inventory of you know, potential first applications. I would be encouraging our clients, if they want to learn more about kind of what a phase zero is, that we're talking to Justin Parker and Sam Baya. Those are the guys that are kind of in the space of thinking about phase zeros and, you know, how they would enable an SI to assist you in the development of that and how you might be able to extract a lot of value out of the SIs in order to be able to deliver a phase zero.
Yeah. And I think now more than ever, it's important to engage in a phase zero and really think strategically about how everything fits together in the world of AI. Because to your point, like a mobile phone, you know, they're so integrated into our society now that it's hard to believe there was a time where, you know, they weren't as necessary or a part of everyone's day-to-day life. And I think AI will be doing the exact same thing to us. It already has. Exactly. So then moving into the last channel to round it out, could you talk a little bit more about the indirect AI channel and how to deliver on that?
Yeah, so that was for those listeners that are out there that listened to episode 9. We spent a lot of time kind of on episode 9 of value extraction from the, I'll call it, the suppliers and the systems integrators. But, you know, here's kind of the concept. Value is going to be recognized in your supply base, right? And in particular, let's use the SIs as the example, right? You know, they're out there touting today that they are going to see 20 to 40% productivity gains, you know, in their delivery of their services.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, right, how do we ensure that those benefits make their way into my bottom line, right, as an enterprise, versus all of it going to the SI's bottom line, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of that transfer of value from the supplier to the customer on those things that the suppliers are actually implementing. And again, I go back to the analogies to think about, which is, you know, for manufacturing companies, lots of times, you know, there was the notion of, well, we're going to take our manufacturing to China and then we're going to be able to make these things cheaper. And so therefore, you know, we're going to have huge profitabilities. Well, you know, their, I'll call it, customers recognize that they were taking things to China. And so therefore, the procurement departments kind of pushed on that supply base that says, you got to pass some of those savings through to us so that we can realize it through the entire supply chain to value the end customer. This is exactly the same thing. In the IT analogy, maybe we think about it as going offshore, right? Yeah. And the enabling of offshore and how you're going to pass that through. So CIOs and CPOs need to be thinking about what is their current spend, right, today on external supply, and then what is going to be their tactic and what is going to be their approach in order to be able to extract the value of generative AI that's being realized by their supply base. Yeah. So internal to SAP, we actually happen to have a practice. Greg Hall runs that practice on kind of optimizing your IT baseline costs. I would be saying, you know, let's get on the phone with Greg, figure out maybe where the opportunities are in order to be able to extract value. And that doesn't require anything other than really high quality analysis and negotiating skills. And it requires nothing on, you know, from the standpoint of setting up infrastructure or, you know, buying anything new. It's much like that first one that we talked about, right? Yeah. Which is enabling the value of generative AI without necessarily having to spend money to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I know you mentioned it at the top of going through that, but definitely check out episode 9 on generative AI and ERP implementations to learn even more about sort of that channel. So we take a full deep dive into that in that episode. But this was great. I'm glad that we laid down sort of the the framework of those four channels and what we're working with. So now that we have that understanding, what are some like steps or more tangible, actionable recommendations that executives can take to ensure that they really harness the value correctly and yeah. pitch AI to really capture the value that it can bring?
Yeah. So, you know, if I was writing down five steps and say, okay, I'm going to scratch down my five steps right now. My number one step is, you know, educate the enterprise on generative AI and mm-hmm. how they can take advantage of generative AI today and where mm-hmm. the risks are associated with it, right? Be the enabler of generative AI. Don't be the inhibitor of it, mm-hmm. right? Second one would be, I would recommend engaging a tier one, SI, so the Accentures, the Deloittes, mm-hmm. the EYs, the PwCs, to access their industry models of where the potential for generative AI benefits are going to be within your industry. Many of those SIs will deliver you that benefit SI or that benefit model without necessarily having to incur any cost to do it. Just mm-hmm. asking them for come in and talk to us about your generative AI approach and where the benefits might be for our industry. And I think many of them will bend over backwards to come in here and talk to you about that. You can, I'll call it, derive value just from the conversation.
Yeah.
I would definitely be setting my course for what am I going to do to enable, I'll call it, the generative AI infrastructure that I'm going to need in the future. There is a lot of decisions to be made. How am I going to integrate? How am I going to, you know, what's going to be my sourcing strategy for LLMs? How am I going to manage that platform in the future? Do I want to do it in the cloud? Do I want to do it in-house? There's a lot of technology decisions that need to be made that CIOs, you know, I would say on average, you know, it could take 9 months to at least go through that thought process of yeah. where you're going to be. And so you need to make sure you've got the lead time. I would then also, in kind of step number four, would be surveying my overall IT spend. Where do I spend externally mm-hmm. on my suppliers? Where do I think there might be the best opportunity to derive AI value through negotiations, and then beginning to set up what's my strategy to renegotiate those contracts and be thinking about that. And then the fifth step, I would say, is not really a step, but it's don't hesitate, right? The value is going to be there. It is going to be delivered, and he who hesitates is going to lose this game. So you've yeah. got to be thinking about, I'll call it, how do I go fast responsibly in this particular yeah. space?
This was great. This was a super helpful episode. It was really fun to dig into those sort of different areas and really unpack what exactly are the benefits of AI, especially because I feel like we spent, you know, a decent amount of time in other episodes talking more on like the risks and the issues, for lack of a better term, that we're seeing. I will say too, and John, you know, he's our resident AI expert on this podcast, but that doesn't mean that we don't have other experts at Upper Edge. So as like a step number six, don't hesitate to reach out to any of the names that John mentioned. All of our guys, John is more, you know, higher level doing the nitty gritty research into AI generally, but our subject matter experts are really digging into the vendor specific stuff. So I will make sure to include their email addresses below, or you can go to LinkedIn and check out our LinkedIn post there to see their profiles tagged. So you can reach out to them on there if that is your preferred form of communication. Because yeah, there's a lot of value to get from having a conversation with them and what they're seeing in the market and with those specific vendors, if that's where your need is. But thank you, John. This was a great conversation.
All right. Good to talk to you next time, Kylie.
Sourcing Enterprise AI is co-hosted by John Belden and Kylie Chisholm and produced by Mike Brown. The podcast is brought to you by Upper Edge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a new episode. For more innovative IT sourcing and risk mitigation insights, subscribe to the Upper Edge newsletter and follow Upper Edge on social media at the links in our episode description. Thank you for listening.